You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
On this episode of Cheesehead Radio,
the Packers hit rock bottom against the Lions.
And we all love a quarterback controversy.
The fingers are all pointing in every direction.
And Mike McCarthy returns to Lambeau Field.
4 quarters of Packers Talk.
Right here on
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. It's time again for some Packers news, fun, and frivolity here on Cheesehead Radio in our 13th season. As usual, our esteemed hosts tonight are CeeDee Angeli of Packers Talk, known as TundraVision on Twitter, Kelly Hodgson of Cheesehead Radio, known as That Packer Girl on Twitter, and little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. You can find me at Jersey Al GBP on Twitter. Our longtime friends at Ticket King are back as official sponsors of Cheesehead Radio and all the Packers Talk podcasts. Ticket King has been in business in Wisconsin for more than 25 years and has offices across the street from Lambeau Field and in Milwaukee. For Packers game tickets, you can visit their website today at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. That takes care of our business. Let's get started.
So, like, if there's a rock bottom and things get worse than rock bottom, what do we call that?
You dug a hole under the rock?
You went splat against the rock?
Did holy rock bottom, rock bottom hole?
The bottomless rock? I don't know.
The pit of despair? I don't know.
Little Princess Bride there.
You got it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, if there is a pit of despair, I would say that the Green Bay Packers, following a rather shocking loss to the Detroit Lions, something none of us predicted last week, the Packers are definitely in a free fall. 3 wins, 6 losses on the season. They'd have to win out just to probably really have any, I suppose, prayer at a wild card at this point. It's really looking like the Vikings probably have the division wrapped up at this point. I suppose anything can happen. It's just a hopeless feeling for the Green Bay Packers.
But on the upside, if there is an upside, Packers are currently number 8 in the draft. Not that anyone's paying attention to that.
Well, I think a lot of people are.
Yeah, oh, we're totally paying attention.
I've had people talk to me about it.
Gentlemen, rhetorical statement. Oh, my God. We're totally paying attention to it.
I've had people contact me about the Cheesehead TV draft guide already. Hey, when are you getting started? I'm like, no. I'm not ready.
Who are you going to suck for? I've seen that many times. I may have asked that question as well.
Yeah.
You know, I may consider writing for the draft guide again. Do you pay more the higher our draft pick is?
No, it's not a sliding scale.
Oh, and they don't pay per word either, CD. Well,
trust me.
Oh, in that case, forget about it.
Oh, my God.
We'd be bankrupt.
Yeah. So let's just review a little bit about this game. Obviously, there are a lot of concerns. What do you see as the critical thing that went wrong? Obviously, the Detroit Lions, a 1-win team, what was ranked as the worst defense in the league. What was the one thing, if you were to point one finger at it, what pulled this game apart for the Packers?
Well, it's really 3 things.
Yeah.
Okay, that's 2 more than 1.
I know. But you know which 3? They all have a common theme, and that would be interceptions. So my one thing is interceptions. There just happen to be 3 of them.
And 2 of them, not to rub lemon juice in this, but 2 of them were in the end zone. We get to the red zone and just can't get across the line.
And, you know, that's not to say that everything else was fine during the game, because it certainly wasn't. There's a litany of other things that you can point to, but obviously when you turn the ball over 3 times, especially where they turned it over, you know, in the end zone or right before the end zone, 3 times, you know, that's potentially 21 points that you've given up. You're never going to win that game. So that's got to be the one thing you point to.
If we were doing our predictions last week and I told you, hey, guess what? The Green Bay Packers defense is going to hold the Detroit Lions offense, which averages 35 points a game at home, to only 15 points in the game. Would you have picked the Packers to win this game?
In most seasons, yeah.
Of course. We all did anyway.
Well, true. But I mean, you know.
So what's your point?
My point is, I don't, you know, no, the defense didn't play a fantastic game, but when it comes right down to it, they didn't play a bad game.
No, they played good enough.
It was okay. They played good enough to win.
Right. They had some very good goal line stands. Yeah, I think they held Jamal Williams, and in any other game where you wouldn't have to worry about the offense just coming apart at the seams. Yeah, I think they did a serviceable job.
And they got the big stop when you needed it late in the game to get the ball back to the offense with a chance to win the game. So that's as important a contribution that defense could have made, is to get that ball back to the offense.
And honestly, I think the defense really did hold up their end of the bargain. You know, what makes me really upset is this is such an incredibly stupid loss, and we had to lose Rashawn Gary in it.
Right.
Yeah, that's going to hurt.
The other thing about the defense is on both of the Lions scoring drives, the Packers defense had stopped them on third down. They had stopped the Lions at third down, but two penalties were called on both of those plays. Gave the ball back to the Lions, and then they just proceeded to go down the field and score. So, really, the defense should have been off the field if not for a couple of penalties.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Right. That's the whole season. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Yeah.
I think another place you can look at, and I know you're kind of the expert on this, Jersey Al, more than I am. Overall, I thought that the offensive line didn't do a really bad job in pass protection, and you know, maybe they started a little more in some of the run blocking, but I don't think it was necessarily a train wreck or anything like that on the part of the offensive line either.
No, absolutely not. They're starting to get a little continuity, or they started out with some continuity, and then Runyon goes down with a knee injury, and Zach Tom has to come in and play right guard. And then after that, Bakhtiari goes out and Tom has to go over and play left tackle, and actually did a pretty decent job there. So I'm thinking if they didn't have Zach Tom, boy, things could really get ugly on the offensive line.
Yes.
But he's come in and just wherever they put him, and he's actually the backup center too, officially, wherever they put him, he holds the fort. You know, he's a rookie. He needs to get bigger and stronger, but he hasn't been a disaster. You know, he hasn't been terrible.
For a rookie, though, he was really versatile. He really wasn't kind of pigeonholed into one position. I was impressed when he switched over to play for Bakhtiari. He went to the entirely different side.
And that's within the game, right?
Yeah.
It's not like you had days to practice and know you're going to play at this position and whatnot. Within the game, okay, now you're here. Okay, now move over here.
Because I would have expected him to play like he had two left thumbs, but he adjusted nicely. You know, unfortunately, the offense couldn't put it together, but you're right, Al. I don't think I could blame the offensive line on this game.
So we're not blaming the defense. We're not blaming the offensive line. Special teams, I don't think we can blame much on. I thought the return game was not terrible. We had no big turnovers on special teams. Punts were good. Field goal was good. So where else is there to put some blame here?
I feel like this is a trick question.
I know. I think our running game, I was kind of looking at those stats, AJ and Dylan, Aaron Jones did not have particularly productive games. I did notice that both AJ Dylan and Aaron Jones each had a 9-yard long run. If you were to take that run out, Aaron Jones averaged 2 yards per carry and AJ Dylan averaged 2.5 yards per carry. So
how many carries for each?
A.J. Dillon was 11 for 34, but you take out the 9-yard run, it becomes 10 to 25. Aaron Jones was 9 carries for 25 yards. You take out the 9-yard run, it's 8 carries for 16 yards.
Mm-hmm. Now, we'll talk about his culpability in a moment, but I think this was the most productive game by Rodgers on the ground that we've seen in quite some time.
You mean him personally running?
Him personally running. Yeah. I think he probably had the longest runs of anybody. In fact, I know he did.
Well, he's been saying the last couple of weeks how he wants to maybe start doing more of that, moving out of the pocket more. And so it's, he's saying what he said he wanted to do. And he always does what he wants to do.
Which is the problem.
Whatever he wants to do.
They were serviceable runs. They were, he's definitely
fine. Yeah,
he's not like a Lamar where I'm always impressed by his speed. He kind of lumbers down for like 10 yards. But at the same time, we shouldn't get into that position where the last option is, okay, Rodgers goes and runs, because sometimes he just gets knocked down for a negative 7 yards.
Right. I watched a video today. Kurt Warner did a video on the Packers, and he basically showed pretty much every passing play and diagrammed out what the receivers were doing wrong on every play.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, like, this guy should have been doing this and he did the opposite. And Mr. Sammy Watkins was guilty many times. And just pointing out the differences in the routes, like he should have taken this route more to the sideline, and instead he's in the more to the middle of the field so the safety can come out. It was really well done by Kurt, but it really kind of depressing when you watch it, as to see how many mistakes these guys are making in what they're supposed to be doing. And that's one reason why Rodgers was moving around a lot and ended up running. I have to say, not that Rodgers had a good game. He made plenty of bad throws. He did make some good throws. For him, it was not a good game when you're throwing interceptions like that. But the other interesting thing I saw in that video was our receivers are on the ground a lot. I mean, there was like five or six plays and Warner's like, well, there's another Packers receiver on the ground. Rodgers is looking there, but the receiver's on the ground. So now he's got to look somewhere else. And I don't know. I mean, they got out physical. Detroit played a lot of man. They got right in their guys' faces, and receivers ended up on the ground. And obviously, you can't catch passes when you're laying on the ground.
And if they weren't on the ground, they were getting called for silly, plays of, blocking when they shouldn't have been, which I don't quite understand that rule. Because they got called on it.
It's a very
twice.
Fine line. Yeah, it's a very.
It's very
fine
subjective.
Line.
All right. Well, I think that's enough talking about that.
More than enough.
Yes.
We'll yeah, that's a goose that, egg for the
we'll
night.
Call that a loss for quarter number one, and we're going to move on to quarter number two. And this really is the rage and conversation. And when I say rage, I mean yes, the rage as in like it's a really cool trend, but it's also rage as in emotion. Which is the thought now, is it time at 3-6 with Rodgers not looking that good? Is it time to start giving some looks to one Jordan Love? What do you guys think? I mean, it's a big call for it. They're like, well, we got to know what he's going to be able to do. Is this the time?
Well, the big pessimist take of this is it doesn't cost us any more for Rodgers to suck on the field or sit on the bench. And with the way he's playing, it can't get any worse, could it, if we put Love in?
Well, it can, because if he really does suck, now you've lost your option. Well, you do. You've lost your option.
Because, now you're really depressed.
Right. I mean, how many times do we say this guy sucks. Go put in the other guy. And they put in the other guy, and he's worse. Like, okay, put in that starter again. I mean, it's just.
He sucks too.
That is just a fabulous Northeast Wisconsin accent.
I know. It's
wonderful. Yes, I love it.
So, I mean,
but in this case, I think because we're number 8 in the draft, we have to make a decision this year. Is Love worth the investment long term? Or if the Packers continue to free fall, do they need to be looking at a new option for quarterback? And if they stay at option 8, there are going to be some good choices coming out of the draft this year. So that is something that I think very much would be on the table.
For me, it's still too early. You'd have to be at 9 losses before you consider doing that. Because at 9 losses, you have no chance of a 500 plus record with 17 games. 9-8, it's very possible. Weirder things have happened. You could still make it to the playoffs. Not saying that that's what I think is going to happen, but until I get to 9 losses, that's when I throw up the white flag.
So at that point, I guess here's the question. you're paying a guy, you know, whatever, as everyone's been debating, $50 million. We'll just say $50 million. You're paying a guy $50 million. Legend. You have a fan base that's starting to do not quite the Favre divide, but starting to show this whole little, how can you sit this guy down? He's done so much for the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
How do you sit him down and tell him you're not going to start a game? Or is it a situation where he says, you know, you're going to play two quarters and then Jordan's going to play two quarters? I mean, how do you do that with that ego and that contract?
Well, it's going to be $50 million after he's gone. So, you know, we've been talking about this all season, you know, this supposed power play between Rodgers and LaFleur. And I think when it comes down to who's going to be shown the door first, I don't think they're going to cut LaFleur after one bad season. But if Rodgers has been problematic and whiny for two seasons, yeah, one of them was an MVP season. And I think he made some asinine comment this week of, well, I think people need to remember that I'm still the reigning MVP, or something along those lines of, yeah, you really do feel like you've got big pants, pal.
Is this answering my question that I
asked? Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
Okay.
So getting back to the LaFleur and...
Yes, okay.
Yes, I think if LaFleur...
The question was, how can you sit him down?
You have LaFleur assert his dominance over the team again. I am the head coach. You are the player. And he says, you know what? I think we need to go in a different direction. Well, and let Rodgers have his hissy fit. But if it comes down to the point where he is not helping the team week after week, and he is the problem, I think it's within LaFleur's right. And it may show the leadership we need to say, yeah, we need to try something else because you're broken.
Okay. Right.
I can't tell I'm on Team LaFleur, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I come from a place where coaches make decisions on who play and who doesn't, who plays and who doesn't. So I don't have a problem at all with doing that. I think LaFleur would have a problem with doing that because I think he's, you know, I think he fears being overly aggressive with his future Hall of Fame quarterback. And that's where the problem is. But in the end, if we get to that point where the season is done, you got to do it, Matt. You just have to do it.
You know, it happened to Eli. Yeah, at the end of his career, it's like, okay, yeah, you won us a Super Bowl.
Oh, that was McAdoo. Oh, man.
Yeah. He needed to be benched, too.
They sat him down for one game. It broke his streak. And then he was right back in. Ouch.
And see, I just don't think he can do it because unless he announces. What do you mean?
He's not up to doing it or he can't do it?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Yes.
Would he have the backing
because
of his front office if he did it?
Because here's the situation. If you look at all the options the Packers have with managing Aaron Rodgers' contract beyond this year, we know that a trade is going to have a tremendous impact on the cap. We also know that Aaron Rodgers can pretty much say no to any trade that there is. If we cut him, just release him, there's a huge acceleration of the cap that is, I think it's like $100 million. You can't do it. Your only hope.
Next year.
Yeah. Well, if you split it up over 2 years, whatever it is, but you got to take the option. But if he just retires, you're looking at whatever it is, like 15 and 24 each of the next 2 years. It's still there. But nutshell, if Aaron Rodgers is committed and he says, I plan to play for the Green Bay Packers next year, there's not a lot the Packers can really do.
But that's not going to happen.
It may not, but
it's not. He's not going to say that. He's going to think about it over, you know, over the offseason again, like he always has the last couple of years, and drag it out and consider everything. So I don't. Sorry, I got to reject that whole notion.
So here's
rejected.
What are you rejecting, though? Are you rejecting the fact that he's not going to announce it ahead of time? Are you rejecting the fact that if he chooses to come back and play, whether it's in the offseason or not, there's not much the Packers can do about it?
No, I answered your question already, the first thing.
So we're going to talk about conspiracy theories after the half. But here's a conspiracy theory. You bench him. He hates it. His ego hates it even more. Could that hasten a retirement?
I don't think we can stop Aaron Rodgers from still dictating, which I think, again, makes it harder for Matt LaFleur to make a decision to say, hey, I'm going to bench you. This is a tough scenario. You're right. It is a conundrum, Al. But I don't know if he has the kahunas to go and say to Aaron Rodgers, I'm benching you.
That's what I said.
I don't think he can do it. All right, so that'll take us to the end of the second quarter. We're going to go to halftime. We're going to step into the locker room. While you enjoy this process. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. We need to hydrate. Everybody hydrate, okay?
All right.
And stretch.
Let's listen to some Ticket King, would you?
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field?
Yeah.
If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King.
Oh, yeah.
Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Just go to their website.
Do it.
TheTicketKing.com. Again, that's TheTicketKing.com.
All right, welcome back to Cheesehead Radio. My name is CD Angeli. I am flanked by Kelly Hodgson on one side, and in the split end position, of course, is Jersey Al Bracco. We've got some conspiracy theories here, and I think this just kind of comes up as you have a losing team and people are getting frustrated. Great interview with Rasul Douglas today. I don't know if you happened to catch it.
Get your tinfoil hats, kids. This is going
to
be fun.
Rasul Douglas actually was pretty honest and saying, you know, we just keep doing the same thing every week and nothing changes. And he says, we suck because we suck. And I'm like, oh, that might be the different title for the show. Because I really liked it. But
he's not wrong.
But at least he's taking a little accountability for himself. There's a couple other interesting things that are happening that make us scratch your head, make us go, hmm. A personnel executive for a team, which they go into a long explanation. Basically, someone is supposed to be running the same Shanahan McVay offense that allegedly LaFleur is going to be running, has come out and said in their evaluation that they're essentially not running that offense in Green Bay. They're saying Green Bay's formations are spread out. There's no shifts. There's no motions. They're running shotgun and run pass options, whereas the offense mostly is supposed to be run under center and have more true play actions. And this particular executive said their offense has changed over the years, and I am sure it's because of what number 12 wants.
I'm sure of that too.
I will accept that conspiracy theory as truth, just so you know.
Yeah, I don't think it's much of a conspiracy. I think it's obvious if you just watch the games.
Because this iteration of the McVay / Shanahan offense works if you're a younger mobile quarterback. Rodgers will be 39 next month. He has had a bum knee since he was 17, which is probably starting to get arthritic. He's had umpteen injuries. Of course, they're going to start slowly, if not more rapidly, tailoring the offense to what he can do. He's not that fast. Of course, he's going to be in the shotgun. And it's not that type of offense. It's Rodgers' ball now. That's why last year, when Love was in and playing Rodgers light, it didn't work for him. When he went to Kansas City, they were still playing Rodgers ball. And it because they were catering to an older, kind of like a Brady, less mobile quarterback.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think they're catering to him because of what he can do or can't do, but rather what he wants to do. And that's pretty much what this guy was saying is, you know, they're doing it because that's what 12 wants. That's the offense he wants to run. And that's really the biggest problem I have with Matt LaFleur is that he just allows this to happen. And as CD said, doesn't have the cojones to stop it.
Which is exactly the problem we had at the end of the McCarthy tenure. It was the battle of Rodgers doing what he wanted to do, you know, checking out of every play and running his own option versus the scripted plays of McCarthy. So, yeah, I think now you're seeing two coaches in a row that I think are bending to Rodgers' will.
Meanwhile,
I think the controversy, conspiracy, is Rodgers keeps claiming, if anything, they're running only the standard plays of that offense.
Of the LaFleur offense, right. He said that in a press conference either yesterday or today.
Right. So Rodgers.
So he pushes back on that whole notion. That
exactly.
They're doing things specifically for him.
Right. So what we believe we see, and obviously – we don't know everything. We don't know what's going on in the locker room. We don't know how things are drawn up. We don't know the plays that are being called. But we would definitely say, yeah, this appears to be Rodgers' ball. But Rodgers is saying, no, this is definitely LaFleur ball. And it's why it's not working, essentially. So,
that was a statement I heard last night in the election. It's like, if they win, I'm taking credit for it. If they lose, it's their fault.
Meanwhile, it looks completely different than previous iterations of LaFleur's offense here in Green Bay that we've seen. Completely different.
Very, very stripped down. You know, yeah, we've had a couple trick plays here and there, but compared to last year, it seems almost like it's simplified. Like you're playing that Rodgers light that we had with Love, but with Rodgers.
Moving on, our second
theory. Oh, we have conspiracy theories today, folks.
Devondre Campbell, injured linebacker for the Packers, and Dalen Levitt are on a local Green Bay Packers show. Asked Dalen Levitt, who was a former teammate of Jordan Love, hey, what do you think about him? And suddenly, man, they go into the biggest praise fest on Jordan Love with some pretty interesting comments. I think Jordan's a great player. He's a great teammate. He does a really good job for some practice. He gives us a real look. He does some pretty impressive screens. Devondre Campbell, four words. He's a starting quarterback. Love it. Yeah, no question. He's better than a lot of starting quarterbacks. Now,
whose name's rhyme with Sharon Schmobbers? Schmodgers.
Yes. So I don't think the intention was to really rip on Rodgers at this point, but it is interesting that you're having these defensive players start to give some extraordinary praise to Jordan Love.
Any you really don't think why? This was shade, CD? Really? This was total shade.
Well, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. But that's why I
was talking about Jordan Love and talking him up.
But since we're doing conspiracy theories, Kelly, tell us why you think it was total
tell
shade.
Us why you think it's shade. Yeah. Yes.
Because when you go on shows like this, and people often have an agenda, and we haven't seen anything of Love other than some pretty vanilla play in the preseason. And I want to know, Devondre, what makes him starting QB caliber? Because I don't think I've ever seen it yet. He kind of held his own in Kansas City last year, but even then he struggled. So if he thinks he's awesome, are we just comparing it to the decline of the other guy? Or, you know, yeah, he could just be waxing sweet.
Jordan Love takes, because Rodgers participates on a limited basis now, Jordan Love takes most of the snaps with the first team offense in practice, going against the first team defense. So, you know, he has seen Jordan Love from his perspective as a linebacker. And I think that's just an opinion that he has formed about him.
But at the same time, we brought Devondre in for his leadership, and he definitely has become a leader on defense. So he's not going to unintentionally throw his QB under the bus. I kind of feel like this is a little intentional. I think he was very deliberate in what he said. Four words, very deliberate.
I think you got a flimsy case.
Yep, I agree.
Again, I'm very biased. Okay, so here's the disclaimer. Kelly is very biased and is so over someone's BS.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Okay. final little bit of conspiracy theory. Aaron Rodgers does a press conference today, is asked repeatedly, of course, about the Packers' upcoming game against the Dallas Cowboys, and of course, his former coach, Mike McCarthy, whom we seem to remember on this show. Rodgers not only talks about McCarthy, you know, not just giving those nice scripted, you know, have a lot of respect for him, and he was a good coach when he was here, but we're looking forward to playing him on Sunday, rah, 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 like, goes into one of his long hallucinogen-induced
ayahuasca haze,
you know, but really saying this gratitude, you know, his word is always gratitude, but it says, you know, as time goes on, the gratitude for that time, you look back on the journey to career, I appreciate the little things a little bit more, because we really, this game of life is about the journey. Oh, God. Anyway. But the one thing that I found interesting that he said is that we've always been in touch, Rodgers and McCarthy, a little bit more, I'd say, the last year or so. Is this in any way, shape, or form a little shade on his present coach?
Now, this one, I think, might have a little bit more validity here.
All right. Well, you know, talk me through it.
I think that Rodgers has been very frustrated this year. I think it's obvious by watching him on the field. He's frustrated. and he's said it a million times about all the mistakes that the players are making. And I think he's reached out to his former coach, you know, who was his mentor one time, and, you know, looked for a little advice and, you know, to kind of discuss the situation. So I think he probably has kind of gotten that touchy-feely thing going with McCarthy again that probably he had lost based on the last couple of years of McCarthy's tenure in Green Bay, where Rodgers tried to get him fired as much as he could. So, you know, what is it? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. You know, I think as little time has passed and with his frustration, he reached out to McCarthy and they've been talking a bit and, you know, he's starting to feel warm and fuzzy again.
Yeah, I don't think there's any real conspiracy theory behind this. If you look at it, like the Rodgers-LaFleur dynamic, they're very close in age where they're, you know, Rodgers views him more as a peer. McCarthy is more of a father figure. You know, Rodgers was very young. Was he like 27-ish when they won the Super Bowl? This is the coach that had faith in him and developed him into the quarterback with his, you know, quote-unquote quarterback school to be a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. Yeah, not to psychoanalyze Rodgers, but he's not close to his family. But, you know, he sees McCarthy now as not just a coach, but, you know, an elder mentor for him. So yeah, I don't think it's throwing shade at LaFleur as much as it's he's realizing the dynamic he's had for a long time with McCarthy. Now that there's been 2 years for any bad blood to just kind of settle, and he's appreciating the dynamic that he had previously.
I think what's most interesting is the one thing he said, which was, obviously, my longest tenured coach, my longest tenured play caller, I'm thankful for those years and thankful maybe a little bit more now as the years go by.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little bit more now, to me, I'm interpreting that as the frustration that he has going on in this season. Maybe some of it has to do with LaFleur and him not agreeing on things. Maybe it's just the mental mistakes on the field he keeps pointing out, but that's where the little possibility of the conspiracy theory lies, I think.
And
it's not the first time he's waxed, you know, poetic about past coaches. He was like that. What is his name? Tedford? Is that what his name at Cal? Where he was very close to him in the early part of his pro career. He saw him as a mentor. And now he's transitioning to that mentor is the longest tenured coach that he had. It's no longer his college coach, but it would be McCarthy.
Yeah, I think you look at Rodgers and his desire to bring back his quarterback coach, Tom Clement. You know, that was kind of a big deal after he'd been kind of upset about Alex Van Pelt, what was it, back 2017, being let go. And he's like, I wasn't consulted on this. But, you know, he's finding some of this nostalgia, bringing back Tom Clement for after a long while. Yeah, reaching out to McCarthy. I don't know if it's a direct cut on LaFleur, but I think it's a direct cut on the present situation and his frustration with right now. And, yeah, I think he likes going back to a better time where, you know, he had this stable of great, you know, wide receivers and he was, you know, kind of a god among men's and now he's quite mortal this year, quite mortal. So I don't know, conspiracy theory, maybe, I don't know. So which one is the, yeah. So going through it, I would say that, Devondre Campbell Kelly really thinks is a conspiracy theory. Rodgers, LaFleur, that one is a conspiracy theory. So, okay, we've got some good agreement, disagreement on this. So, all right, that'll take us to the end of the third quarter, and we are going to conclude with our fourth quarter, and that is, of course, injuries was not a good week for injuries.
It seemed like every play somebody was getting hurt.
So we're really looking at a couple of players who it looks like, A, we're going to miss for the rest of the season. Obviously, first and foremost is Rashawn Gary. But we got a couple other players that we're probably going to be out for a significant amount of time, or at least we're unsure of. And, you know, why don't we run through some of those names?
Kelly?
Oh, I'm supposed to do it. Okay, sorry. Looking at the list, I'm going to start with David Bakhtiari. Normally, I'd say this is his normal did not practice, but he didn't play a whole lot last week. So what's going on with him?
Yeah, he's struggling. He's struggling with that knee. And it's always going to be a week-to-week thing, a day-to-day thing. I'm betting And I know nothing, but I'm betting that he's getting that thing drained continually like he did when he, you know, the first time around when he was trying to come back.
No doubt.
Anyway.
Chris Barnes.
It's too bad. What was that, CD?
I was just going to say, I think you're right. When we hit that 9 losses, as you said, and we're starting to really start looking at Jordan Love, I think David Bakhtiari just goes on IR the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised with that at all. Chris Barnes, he still is not playing at all, which tells me he's still at the very, very beginning of the concussion protocol where you don't do anything. So I do not expect him to play this week at all.
Yeah, he didn't look good, put it that way.
It was a hit. Wow.
It was on his knees, and he just kind of like was frozen, like afraid to move almost, and you just knew immediately that he was trying to clear his head, and it's sad because he just made it back, right, from being out for a while, and mm-hmm. he's not in for that long, and then boom, he's out again now, this time with a concussion, so feel bad for the guy.
Devondre Campbell still isn't playing with his knee injury. Does anybody know what type of knee injury he has? I have not been able
to. Well, participating in practice, not playing, just to be clear with people.
Yeah, he did not participate.
Right. No, that's a new one to me. I mean, maybe he just needed a rest there. I don't know.
Mason Crosby has a back injury, was in limited practice. Wasn't this a problem last year, too?
Yeah, he's just old. You
he's
know.
Old.
He's like old.
You like 130 years old, man. Yeah.
You know, my back hurts, too, and I'm older.
You have back issues. It happens.
The Romeo Doubs and his ankle.
Yeah, bad news on him.
Bad
right?
news. He's going to...
High ankle sprain.
4 to 6 weeks.
So we'll see him towards the end of end of the season. Probably heading towards Christmas, if not beyond, when we see him.
Right.
Probably not going to break Sterling Sharp's reception record for a rookie.
We already mentioned Rashawn Gary. If you look at a year recovery, we're looking at him returning optimistically the middle of next season.
Right.
Jean Charles or Jean Charles?
Jean Charles, the French pronunciation.
Then it'll be Jean Charles.
Say it in French, Kelly, in French.
Shamar Jean Charles.
Jean Charles.
Has an ankle injury and did not play. And I honestly did not see the injury, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I did not either.
Elgton Jenkins is on one of those days where he didn't practice with his knee.
Yeah, normal. Wednesdays, he and Bakhtiari are sitting.
So just assume the rest of the season he's going to sit on one.
Yep.
Aaron Jones with a limited practice with his ankle. And he did kind of hop off. He was not feeling it during the game.
Yeah, well, I mean, he went off. They took him into the tunnel. He actually, I happen to notice this, he actually ran into the tunnel. Like he ran, got his x-rays or whatever, then ran back out of the tunnel.
And then stood there and glared.
Really was really annoyed that they wouldn't let him go back in. Exactly. I think he probably was fine to go back in. But, you know, the Packers being what they are, just overly protective. And, you know, usually for the benefit of the player. In this case, I don't know, from seeing him run back and forth to the tunnel without a limp and look normal, I think they might have gone over the edge a little bit on this one, but it is what it is. He practiced. It was a limited participant today, which is a good sign. I think they expect that he'll be okay for Sunday.
He actually said that his x-rays were fine, but they decided to hold me up.
Right. Yeah, he did say that.
So, Lazard, limited practice with a shoulder injury. Again, I just don't know.
He's had it pretty much all. No, he's had that shoulder problem all of the season. Yeah.
So it's just a rest day or kind of a pitch count, so to speak.
Yeah, it's always going to be just take it easy.
Rodgers with Wednesday. His thumb. Again, he's a million years old, and he didn't practice on Wednesday. So big one. John Runyon had a knee injury. He was limited practice, so that tells me he'll probably play on Sunday.
Yeah, he did come back to play in the game, which was a good sign. So
they're just babying it.
Taking it easy with him, right? Exactly.
Preston Smith with his neck injury was limited practice, so I expect him. He probably has a stinger is my guess.
Yeah, that I didn't see at all, so I don't know what happened.
I remember him getting hurt, but I didn't really see how. I was like, he's down. It was early in the games. I wonder if he had a little stinger. Eric Stokes did not practice today with ankle and knee pain.
Yeah, that's something that they're waiting for I guess, swelling to go down and take x-rays and, you know, to see exactly what the issue is there. But I have a feeling that's not going to be good.
No, I'm guessing not anytime soon. I don't think, you know, swelling in a knee always makes you worry about an ACL injury, but we would have already known if it was an ACL.
Yeah, if it was an ACL, that can they can determine pretty quickly, right?
Sammy Watkins is a knee injury, but at this point, I'm okay. It's like, just stay on the bench, honey.
And there's a head injury there, too, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, with Christian Watson's concussion protocol, but full practice, which means he is exiting concussion protocol. So if you have a concussion, you're full practice. That's just, if you have symptoms, you have to take a step back. So and he's at full practice. We're ending the protocol.
Yeah, and that's another one where the Packers held him out just out of an abundance of caution. If I remember correctly, they didn't say that he had a concussion, but they were concerned because he had had one the previous week, so they held him out for that reason.
And anyway. I would have never played him. I was actually a little
at all. You mean steady. Yeah, the first yeah.
I wouldn't have played him as somebody who has suffered a concussion and then had a second one. You know, within a couple months, you don't. And they had a daughter with that through that as well. Hey, you know, this is what causes CTE, man. Just.
Yeah.
Well, look at Tua. Tua Tagovailoa earlier in the season. It's like, wow, he should not have been in that second game where he got just not stupid.
Yes.
You got to think that it takes more than a week to totally get all the cobwebs out and clear things up, you know. So I wouldn't, if I were the NFL, I would require that teams keep a player out for at least 2 weeks if they're, you know, if they get a concussion.
And Rodgers with his second concussion in 2010 was out 2 weeks.
And you know, if the Vikings were to crumble and the Packers were to go on a run and they're both sitting at like, you know, 12 and, you know, well, probably wrong, 11 and I can't even do that, 10 and 6 or something.
Math is hard, CD.
I know. So let's say they're both staying at 10 and 6 here. You're going to the last game and, you know, it's the Vikings and the winner of this game is going to win the division, right? Christian Watson, he's a weak guy. Okay, he's passing the protocol. Do we need him in there for this game? Yeah, maybe you want to put him in that one. Do you need him in the game where we have 3 wins and the team we're playing has 1 win and no one cares?
No.
You don't force him in that game. Yeah, I mean, if there's a lot on the line, maybe you push it, but that was just a waste of his brain at that point. In a little bit of news before we head off, Jonathan Abram was picked up off of waivers today by the Green Bay Packers. He was waived by the Raiders, a former first-round safety.
Ooh.
But he's still on waivers. What are his red flags?
Cut by a bad team.
What are his red flags?
That sounds promising.
Yeah, he's just like one of those guys.
Martellus Bennett. It's like great at one point, but
Well, Abram's never been great at any point. He's just one of those guys that gets drafted in the first round and just has not seemed to find his footing as a player. He's actually been a pretty strong special teams player, which I think Rich Bisaccia was kind of excited to get him. Very good friend of Keyshawn Nixon. Keyshawn Nixon did an interview today and was just glowing about him. I think maybe there's the hope that the Green Bay Packers have taken on a couple of guys like Devondre Campbell, Rasul Douglas, that might have been not spectacular players with their former team, but you know, they come here and we've been able to develop them into superstars. Maybe that lightning strikes again.
Or maybe he's just a utility outfielder, so to speak, and can help out in special teams.
Or we're sending a solid message to Mr. Savage.
Yeah.
That too.
He had a really good year in 2021 as far as tackles go. 116 combined tackles in 2021. I have no idea if he can cover. You know, maybe that's why he's not on the Raiders anymore. He had 48 tackles so far this year, so not quite the same pace. But anyway, it can't hurt.
And just a little bit of trivia. The Green Bay Packers now have 3 first-round selections from the 2019 draft on their defense right now. Rashawn Gary, Savage,
one's on IR.
And Abram. But 3 first-rounders from one draft now sitting on that defense. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that'll take us to the end of the fourth quarter. Injuries are a loss. I think the conspiracy theories were kind of a
fun win.
Yeah. So we went 1-3 today.
We'll cut us a break here.
Yeah, we've needed to win for some time.
We deserve it.
And now we'll get to this week's game prediction.
Cheesehead Radio. Packers game predictions.
Well, if you thought Brett Bielema returning to Wisconsin was a bad omen, the Packers welcome back Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. And having our Super Bowl winning coach coming back to Lambeau may not have come at a worse time. The Packers start out as 4.5-point underdogs at home against the Cowboys in a late afternoon tilt that I'm sure Fox was hoping was going to end up being their jewel of the day. The Cowboys are 6-2 in the most competitive division of football, while the Packers are 3-6 in the least competitive division of football, maybe other than the NFC South. Will the Packers pull off an upset? Restore some pride to this team? Jersey Al, as always, we'll start with you.
Well, I'd love to come on here and tell you the Packers will get it together and spoil Mike McCarthy's return to Lambeau Field. Unfortunately, I really haven't seen anything from this team that would make me believe that was possible, even if they hadn't lost all the starters that went down in the Detroit game. It's going to be hard for me to pick the Packers to win any game until I see some concrete evidence that they have the ability to turn things around. In this game, Dallas's defense is just going to be a nightmare for the struggling Packers offense, especially now with Dobbs out as well. Got to go Cowboys 24. Packers 13.
I'm not too far away from you on this, Al. If the Packers can't beat the Lions, I have absolutely zero confidence they can get it done this week against Dallas, even though it's a home game. Rodgers is struggling, and McCarthy knows both his strengths and his weaknesses. He knows Rodgers will play hero ball when pressured and will exploit that knowledge. It's going to be ugly. Cowboys 31, Packers 17.
Yes, any given Sunday, so you can't completely count the Packers. McCarthy on the other side of the field will be some sort of inspiration, but really not all the guys left from the roster in 2018 to inspire. In the end, the Packers simply can't find enough ways to put together an entire four quarters. They're injured, and against a team like the Cowboys, who are highly motivated to keep winning to maintain pace in the division, if you're not playing four quarters with a healthy team, you are not winning. Cowboys 28, Packers 17.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio, now in our 13th season. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com, where you can listen to several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like the pod, show us some love and leave us a review. You can also find us on Siri, Alexa, or Google just by saying Play Packers Talk Podcast. Finally, be sure to head over to our sponsor, Ticket King. You can find them across the street from Lambeau Field, in Milwaukee, or on the web at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. Packers come home this week. Please don't screw it up. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
I'll be there, Lambeau.